time. We do every Sunday morning. A lot to pray about today, ain't it? You don't choose to stand? Oh, it's tight. Well, go ahead, Paige. Many remembers the revival about 5 weeks ago. Powerful time of God, wasn't it? It was families changed, lives changed. We had people laid out on the floor here. God was doing a work on them. There was miracles everywhere. The blood was being applied that day out of them in that revival. It was the man of God. He poured his heart out to us. He listened, obeyed God. He said, obedience is better than sacrifice. And he done what he done his job, and the Lord moved. And I thank my God for that. God said, this is his love book. He said, I died for you. This love is all through this book. He said, I was in the beginning of Genesis. In here today, and it's been a burden up on me all week, the past week and a half, about sin. You don't think you can get over sin to come back to the Father's house. There's so many people in here that is hurting, they're bound, they're oppressed, depressed, bondage is holding them back. And he says, Peter is my main example. He walked with me every day. Every day I talked to Peter. Peter turned his back on me. Look what Peter done through the New Testament. All the way through the New Testament, there was miracles. The Holy Spirit used him. It was lives changed through Peter's ministry. The man of God said, real repentance, real revival. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sins, and will heal their land. He says, if my people, specifies that the promise is directed at a particular group, as God's people. He didn't say devil's people, he said my people, God's people. The blood must be applied first. We must come to the altar, and the blood's got to be applied. And this is where it got me. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into grace of Christ into another gospel. And I pray each and every one of us has the blood applied today, that we can call down to God and ask for forgiveness. From him that called you into grace of Christ refers to God who called you through the grace of Christ to a new life. He didn't call us to go back to our old life. He didn't say go back to the old thing that we did. He brought us from them, and we've turned and went right back into them. He said, go from that. Peter is their main example. Peter turned from his running, his wild ways, and he turned and went back to the Father's house. He said, Peter, do you love me? You know I do, Lord. Peter, do you love me? You know I do, Lord. He said, then follow me. Let me make you a fisherman of men. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. It ain't about what we know. It's about what he puts in us. It's about if we go to the Father's house and get in our prayer closet and stay and talk to him. That's when he'll lead us to it. Don't lean to your understanding. Everything's through him. He said, there's things you're not going to understand. Mysteries. He's wanting to have a spiritual awakening that follows genuine repentance, characterized by a renewed relationship with God, a greater manifestation of his presence, and a significant increase in spiritual among believers. When this does happen, when you do follow him, There's going to be some things that follow him. There's going to be changes in your life that people are going to see. Jesus will stand out in you if you are really on his right road. You're going to have a change of direction. You will turn from your sin. You will turn and you will start proclaiming the gospel. You will take ownership of your sin. Holy Spirit will convict you of your sin. You're going to have sorrow and hatred of your sin. He'll let you know right then and there. He'll quicken you that you have sinned against him. And a changed life, like I said, he will be sticking out somewhere in you.
There'll be a smile on your face. It ain't always going to be rosy, but you will have a joy in your life. How do we get to that point? Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. In the beginning, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, he said, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. He didn't say, I created some. He said, I created it all. And I don't know who this is for. From the beginning to the end, he said, the same church that I give the commandments to in the wilderness for 40 years, he said, give it to them. This is the same church. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not worship any graven images. Thou shalt not take God's name in vain. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. And thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's stuff. Matthew chapter 22, verse 36 through 37. The disciples asked him, said, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love thy Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. If we spend time in his presence, we're going to be about the Father's business. We can't be about worldly things. I know this is a busy life. I'm guilty of it. But when we get in the Lord's presence, lives change, matters change, revival happens. People are coming to the cross by your walk with the Lord. It will be changed. It will be turned around. If you show them the light of Jesus. He said, I'll send you into the highways and the byways. He said, I'll send you. And he said, I'll bring them in. He said, you be obedient for me. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Worship. We need to come to worship. We need to come to the foot of the cross. We need to get in our prayer closets at night and day, all throughout the day, and seek his face. We need to pray and praise him for what he done over 2,000 years ago. The love book that he gave us. Each and every word in this book is love. He said, my marvelous light refers to God's presence, truth, and salvation. If you are truly his, a peculiar people, something belonging to God, as his special treasure possession. If you have him sticking out of you, you are special to him. He created you. He, in the book of Genesis, created you. He said, let it be man and woman. He didn't say, let it be man and man. He said, man and woman. The meaning of shoe is to exhibit, display, reveal, or make known, proving, manifesting, instructing. You'll want to do right. You will. When the Lord gets a hold of you, he'll change your thinking. And he'll make you. Tell these people about my God, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou comest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations, who are called by my name, emphasize a shared identity and allegiance under God. We're the same as God. He created us. In his image. Nobody else's image but his. We have the same identity. We've got the same mind like of Christ. Identity means Galatians chapter 3, verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Jesus Christ. Allegiance. Luke chapter 14, verse 26 through 27. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters and and his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. There comes a time in our lives when we got to put God first. Yes, he gave us these kids. He gave us the wife. He created that bond. He said, I put you in a time for this. He said, but don't put them in front of me. You got to go first, God, and we'll follow the line of the tribe of Judah. If we get in behind his footsteps and let him lead us, hell itself can't stand against us. His disciples walked with him, talked with him. They still messed up on him. They still had to go back to the foot of the cross, back to the foot. Every time they messed up, they had to go back. We've got to do the same thing. You're going to mess up. Don't care who you are. He said, you're not going to be perfect down here. He said, but you have an advocate sitting at the right hand of the Father waiting on you. And his disciples, the 12, he created us to be disciples too. He created us to come in and learn his word, teach us, guide us, tell us how to go about it, and then we can go forth and give the word of God and help people get saved and transformed. The definition of a disciple is a learner, a follower who's committed to living like Jesus, which includes believing in him, obeying his teachings, loving others, and participating in his mission, following him and imitating him, learning and abiding in God's word, living a transformed life, participating, demonstrating love and obedience, and accepting the cost of the cross. The cross that he bore for us, the ones he nailed our sins upon that cross upon Golgotha, the ones that we should have took, but the love that he had in this book and the love that he showed forth each and every Sunday that we come in here, we don't deserve it. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 through 21. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself. It's that moment when you're in the darkest hours, when you're walking and you, I can't do this no more. I can't do this. I beg the differ. Get to your knees. Call on the one who brought you through here. He will take you on. He will see you on through the cross. In them darkest hours when the enemy thinks he has you, he doesn't have nothing. Just call out to him. Cry, Abba, Father. That's who he is. He will see you through. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 25. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. There is consequences. There really is, but we still have the advocate to the Father. We don't sin because we can. But when we do, we can go back to the Father and say, Father, I have sinned against you in heaven. Forgive me. And he is just to forgive you. James chapter 4, verse 14. Whereas you know not what shall be on tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. So if we ain't got the sins under the blood, your name ain't written in the Lamb's book of life, when you open your eyes, it's going to be torment. It's going to be hell. There's nothing pretty about it. And I tell you, I've read the end of the book. I've read the end of the love book. We win. God wins. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where that tree falleth, there it shall be. Where you open your eyes up in eternity, where you're going to stand, either heaven or hell. That's when he's giving us walk on this side of the earth to make sure we serve him. And our name is written in the Lamb's book of life. But you have assurance today that your name can be written in the Lamb's book of life, and you can have all the sins under the blood. world that thinks evil is good and good is evil. And it's in them sacred places when you go to your prayer closet and you spend time with Him and let Him fill you up and talk to you and enter into you and just be in His presence and just be quiet and let Him engulf you. It's in them times is when you learn to trust upon the Lord. But well said. Revelations chapter 20, verse 14 and 15. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is real. You ever read about the rich man? He lifted his eyes up. Told him to say, go tell my brothers not to come to this place. It's real. Psalm 61. Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock. The rock is Jesus. That is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. That will prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God ever. O prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve him. So I will sing unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. He's getting ready to close the door. We have little time and people don't know it. The clock is ticking. The door's shutting. And we have not a clue. That's the reason it's real important we get in the secret place. That way he can send us forth. Go into the highways and the byways. We've got to have a spiritual rebirth. Revival is a return to life for dormant or dead faith, bringing renewed passion for God and His Word. Ask for the spiritual birth. Ask for the fresh anointing. Seek the anointing when we come up here. Tell Him to pour out His Spirit upon you. I dare you. He'll change your life. Spiritual awakening, rebuild your altars and seek His face. It's a powerful time when individuals and communities experience a profound turning to God with renewed favor. Has God ever told you to go talk to somebody? You're scared. You don't want to. I don't know these people, but there's a special purpose that you have got to be. The reason the Lord has told you to go talk to them. The bad people that we for say call. The dealers, we're not going to go talk to them, but there's a reason. God's already over there waiting on you to come to Him. You need to go. You need to be obedient. You need to share what the Lord has given to you. First Kings chapter 18, verse 30 through 40. It's when Elijah is rebuilding his altar for the prophets of Baal and when he calls fire down from heaven. We've got the same authority. When somebody's coming at you, when it ain't of God, you have the same authority to rebuild your altar and call on the name of the Lord of Lords. Matthew chapter 11, verse 29 through 30. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. When true revival hits, you will be transformed into a bold witness, social transformation, renewed faith and love, and a fervent worship. You'll want to do these things for Him. You'll want to get in His presence. You love to get in His presence. You'll love to go talk to these so-called bad people. And I implore you today to get in your prayer closet. If you don't know Him, come to an old-fashioned altar. His face with everything, and He will change your life. Dave, if you don't care, give me some music. I ask if you don't care to stand. I'm done.